I'll give you a correct address, but you have a fire in a one-story ordinary. Looks like it's about 40 by 120, 125. Get your traffic control. Squad 5, squad 5. Over to 273, 273. Over the tiny, teeny 18 battalion. Over to 273, 273.
Okay, good evening, afternoon, or whatever time of the day you could be listening to this. I know the recording is going to originally play on Wednesday, but we actually pre-recorded this because of some prior obligations. So tonight we're going to have a conversation with some things talking about mentoring and dealing with, you know, getting that new person, keeping them on the right track, and how easy it is to do if you have that person who is not necessarily a good mentor or somebody who maybe is on a different path themselves within your engine house, and how that new person coming into your firehouse, how they can affect them. So tonight, myself, Gary Graff with Engine House Training, and I'm joined with Kyle. How are we doing this evening?
Doing pretty good, pretty good. Kyle Sanders, also with Engine House Training.
We kind of chose this topic to have a short conversation on because it's something that it seems like it comes up quite frequently. A couple of things with mentorship. One, how do you get somebody, you know, that you have a senior person and getting them to be a good mentor and making sure that as the new firefighters coming into your engine house, how do you put them on that right path, keep them on that right path without letting them get sucked in to somebody that might lead them down a different road. And Kyle, I'll kind of let you go ahead and get started with your new position you're in, and have this some of the things that you've encountered so far, or some of the things that as far as what you've thought about on how to hope to deter and then also to train and help out your new people as they come in.
Yeah, absolutely. So I recently just got promoted to captain, which is the engine company level officer for the organization I'm with. And when I started with this position, also came a brand new employee with us that's only been with my organization for about a month when I got promoted. So love the new challenges, everything come along with that, and kind of started looking back at the crew and everything that comes with this with having a new employee. So kind of my opinions with a lot of this stuff, and like everything else in the fire service, you look back, and when I started as a brand new guy, a brand new kid in the service, there was those guys that were the mentors that took the time out of their day to get out of that recliner and come help you and do stuff. And then you had the other guys that are like, why are you bothering me, kid? It's past 2 o'clock in the afternoon type of attitude. So like everything else, you have good guys that take the time to do this stuff, and you got the other guys that are kind of like, eh, don't really bother me with this. I don't care what you do. So I've always tried to base my career off like, hey, man, like these guys took their time to help me, so that's what I need to do with this. And when I started at the organization that I'm at now, one of the biggest things I took away from this with having a new person is getting to them before they even start with us. And when I say before they start, like reaching out to them before their first day. For myself, when I started at the place I'm at now, my officer at the time, he was my lieutenant, called me a couple days ahead of time. So I was like, hey, man, where's your head at? Are you good with everything? Do you have any questions? Do you have anything that you need before you come in? And kind of went over like, hey, just so you know, this is how our days go. When you come in the morning, this is what time you're expected to be there. Yeah, shift starts at this time, but this is the actual time we make relief, is about an hour early. And just a lot of things that unknown questions, like, oh, man, I really am curious, like, what do I need to bring in? What do I need to do? How do you guys do dinner? And all this stuff, just be prepared for that first day. Other than, hey, I'm going to come in, I'm going to run calls and do my job, but all the little things. So I've kind of taken that aspect. That was huge for me to get that. My comfort level when I walked in that morning, it's like, okay, the nerves were, you're still nervous because you're walking into a brand new job, brand new engine house, a new guy. I had to start from scratch and kind of build your reputation and everything back up again. But just having that phone call and getting all those little things out of the way, it's like, okay, like, hey, man, there's actually somebody there that's going to be nice and seems like he's going to help take care of me and get me in the path I need to go. So I've tried to follow that same thing. And just recently, I had a new guy a couple years ago that my last few newer guys, I've done the same thing. I've reached out to them beforehand and just kind of the same, hey, man, like, what do you need from me tomorrow? Like, you're going to be working with, I'm going to be your partner tomorrow. You're working with us. This is my game plan of you. What do you want from me as your senior guy? What are you expecting me to do for you? And I had one of these newer guys that I had at one point. I had a conversation a couple weeks ago, and he brought that up. He's like, you know, that made the biggest impact on my career at our organization. And he goes, I still tell people to this day. He goes, that day you called me a couple days before our shift, and just kind of like wanted to talk and clear the air and kind of lay the path of what's expected. He goes, that made a night and day difference. So that's one of those things. I look at the mentorship for starting before they even come on shift on that first day. Like, you know, hey, this is my new guy. He's scheduled to start this day. Reach out and talk to him a little bit and just kind of lay that path work. It made a huge difference for me. I still appreciate that. And I've been trying to pass that along to all the new guys I've had. So that's a good start in my book. I don't know, Gary, if you've got other ideas or if you've had to go through much with that, but that's kind of laying that groundwork and just starting with that is why I try to go.
Conversation we had, myself and somebody else had the other day, and it was kind of two different things with that. You know, it seems like the mentorship and mentoring, I don't know if it's kind of becoming one of our catchphrases and we're throwing it out there. You know, somebody threw it against the wall and stuff, continued to use it. But some of the things with, you know, make sure that your senior guy is being your senior guy. You know, a lot of times that non-assigned leader of the firehouse, a lot of times is the guy that you need to help, especially mold the new person. You know, the officer, yeah, that is your job. But sometimes that other senior person or the guy that's been there for a while. But even more so, it seems like sometimes people have a hard time when you get somebody new in your building, especially somebody that's brand new within the fire service. It seems like a lot of times we spend more time trying to teach them skills, which are important, and less time trying to teach them a culture, detrimental with and what we do. But how long are you wanting this person there, and how well are you wanting them to blend into the organization? You don't want them to figure out the culture as you go. You want them to understand how your organization works. You want them to mold into your organization. You want them to be part of that and help it advance. So are you teaching the new person just as much of your culture as you are in your skill? Or do you spend more time on your skills? And this is a quote from that somebody had said out loud at one time. Well, I want to make sure that this guy is trained adequately because I don't want to look bad. So they didn't give a fuck about if this guy actually knew his skills and was able to perform his job and was at the top of his skill. He was more worried about how that was going to reflect on him, which, again, is in my opinion, is a shitty attitude for a company officer or anybody that's doing a mentoring or a lead position or trying to cultivate a new mind coming into the firehouse.
Yeah.
We got to stop this. I don't want to look bad attitude, and let's teach them the culture and let's teach them the importance of why we do this and what we do. And with all the rest of that comes good attitude, and with the good attitude comes the motivation to go out and enhance the skill. So, you know,
yeah.
At times I think we're kind of taking a misapproach at it.
Yeah. So like my new guy I have right now, brand new kid in the fire service. He had a year on at a previous department. And I'm really starting to learn pretty quickly just me and him having conversations of the previous department. They didn't do a ton of hands-on training, or his company as a crew did not. So there's a lot of stuff, and he was a new guy there. So he didn't get the opportunities to do a lot of fire type activities or a lot of training because he's either busy or it's like, hey, you're new. A lot of it comes off as that was the culture of this place. So I will say for me coming into this, I got put into this position. He was already on the crew for a little while. So I'm trying to play catch up. And when he first came into our organization, he really didn't have a company officer assigned to him right away. There was some people in and out filling that spot until the permanent spot got filled. So there's playing some catch up with this. And I absolutely agree that building that culture is huge because you got to get these people out of their shells. You have to get to know them. And that was one of my first things I did is try to sit down, just me and him having a conversation of like, where's your head at? What do you bring to the table for us? And then that's going to help me kind of set my path of like, okay, this is what you're coming here with. This is what I need to make sure I work on. And going back to that senior guy role is huge. We have a person on my shift that is the senior person and is also one of our backup officers for our organization. And me and this individual have had several talks the same thing. Like, this is what I expect of you. And there's been some stuff that this individual has brought to my attention. Like, hey, like, do you mind if I have these conversations? Like, I noticed some stuff that he can tweak, he can do better on. Do you mind if I talk to him? And I always looked at them like, absolutely. And like, that's truly your job as the senior person. And this is my opinion. You can correct me if you're wrong, if I'm wrong, or if you have other thoughts on this, but my opinion is the company officer, that little nitpicking stuff of like, hey, this is, and that's building that culture of, that's not really how we do things here. This is a better way, or I noticed this. That comes better from that senior person. That's the person on the ground working with them every day. That's something, and I gave them free rein. If you see something, fix it and address it. Just let me know what you discuss so I can keep my eyes on it. But other than that, I'm like, if you see something, it needs to get fixed, and that comes better from you as a private level than a company officer to private level. Then it's a little bit more intimidating. But I look at the senior person, that's a lot of responsibility. And when I was a senior guy, I tried to hone and take that responsibility big time because it's a huge, huge deal. And you can take a lot of pride and build off of that and not the pride of like, hey, look what I did. This is making me look good. But just the pride of building your company as a whole. When you show up on a fire and people are like, man, those guys showed up and they busted their ass and did a good job. That says a lot. I mean, that reputation is huge. So, and I always looked at having new guys is building that pride, and then you're trying to pass that on to them. Like, hey, this is our crew. This is what we do. This is how the standards we hold ourselves to, and this is where we're going to be. And then when it comes into the skills, all that kind of falls into place with that. Is the way I've always kind of looked at how that stuff should go.
Yeah, and it's nice to be able to have that person who's motivated enough and is willing to help out with that, because sometimes, you know, you might have somebody that you might already be dealing with a problem person on your shift, and then all of a sudden now you have a new person into the mix, and sometimes you got to watch that a little bit closer, because if you have a person or that person that's already an issue, now you have to make sure that they're not drawing that new person into that. You know, the same thing, like we're talking about teaching somebody the culture. It's the same thing, you know, with your negative attitudes, you know, that you get that toxic person. And we all know that spreads twice as fast as any positivity that you're trying to create or mold into that new person. So, you know, that becomes another issue that, you know, we're getting ready to go through, you know, a pretty interesting time within our organization, getting ready to put on 3 new people. And that, you know, that's kind of a conversation you have. You know, how do you place these people, you know, as far as making sure that they have a good mix, so it's not getting in somewhere into a toxic environment, or you get somebody that's trying to teach them a bad culture or a bad direction. Hopefully, within that, you know, again, within that growth and expansion of your organization, and as we all know, there's those one or two people every now and then that kind of poke their head up at the most inopportune time and don't necessarily help with the molding and the motivation. But yeah, it's great that you've got that person that you can actually lean on to be able to help influence that person, because that non-ranking individual, as much as they can mold them and help them, you know, we all have that person the first day we walked in the firehouse that, you know, you kind of levitated to. You could tell that they were one that you can trust in, and they were willing to step forth and help you. And that's one of those, too, that a lot of times whenever you start talking about the, you know, just kind of my feelings on mentorship, and I heard a new firefighter one day say something that, well, I want to find somebody, you know, that can mentor me doing this. And like I told him, well, the best advice I can tell you is go into the firehouse and be positive and go in and do some training and go in and take some initiative. You don't have to go looking for somebody that'll help you. They will come find you. If they see that you're out there doing, you know, you're doing your truck checks, you're making sure, you know, you're there on time, you're doing all of the right things, that person that has that same mindset, they will find you and they will help you. And then that's how you actually get yourself attracted to and attract decent minded people to you, just by going and doing those right things. The other thing with that, you know, like I told them, as a new person also, as other people who aren't as bought in on those things right away, they're going to start firing shots. Just ignore them. You know, ignore the shots. Let those shots be your motivator, and don't let those bring you down, because that's what they're trying to do. You know, we've all heard that, well, if you keep doing that, you're going to make us look bad. You make yourself look bad. So don't let those people be the negative influence on you. Just keep your head up, do the right thing, and the appropriate and the proper mentor will find you. You don't have to go looking for them.
Yeah, no, that's 100%. And that's kind of where, so the way our organization works is, after so long, our new guy, he floats out. He's a floater. So he's going to get to experience all the other engine houses, all the other crew members, and that's same as everywhere. You've got a couple houses that are busy, running nonstop. Got the younger guys there. They're the ones that are always happy. And then you got other guys that are, I don't want to say they're not always happy, but their viewpoints on stuff are way different than other houses. And it's one of those that you go to the slower house, and what do? They have more time. That's where you really learn your rumors. It's when you go to those places and they have time to talk about everything, and everything becomes a big deal. And that's kind of where I'm at now, of is just prepping him for some of that stuff of, you know, when you go out, like, hey, everything's great, we get along, the crews we work around us, because everybody's busy, everybody gets along, we gel, and you need to make your own opinions of this stuff. But yes, absolutely, go in there, do your job, and just make sure you do your job. Like, don't go in there and be like, oh, well, they're not jumping up and checking the truck right away, so I'm not going to jump up and check the truck right away. Because that's when the company officer comes in and is like, that's not going to fly when you come back home. Like, this is the way it's going to be whenever you come back. But that's one of those things, like, right now, that it's kind of a hurdle, like, we're trying to overcome, of building the expectations. And I kind of did that with the newer guy, of me and him just one-on-one went down and we went through everything on our truck. And he was down there on his own, automatically kind of going through stuff and doing everything. But we spent an entire day in between calls pulling every piece of equipment off of our truck. It's like, okay, this is my expectations of you with this tool or this piece of equipment and everything. And that kind of, the feedback I got from him was pretty good. He's like, man, this is awesome. I've never had anybody do this. And just kind of really got to build that personal relationship. And now he kind of knows, hey, this is exactly what, if we get this fire today, this is where I need to be and what my company officer is expecting of me. But then that senior person is able to step in too. And the person on my shift has done an outstanding job of really taking him under their wing, and all the little minute details of, like, you going back to that culture thing of, hey, this is how we operate, and kind of building that up to really help bring the new person out of their shell, but also, like, just really build of, like, hey, this is our district, and this is our house, and this is our crew, and this is how we operate. And that having that senior person to lean on, I'll tell you, as being a brand new company officer level, is awesome, because there's a lot of little minute things that I can lean on this individual and not do it on purpose, dumping all my responsibilities. But there's a lot of little stuff that that person will have more influence on than the company officer will, because it's that firefighter to firefighter relationship. And that's kind of the way I've really kind of looked at that. And a few people, when I was the senior person at my house, that I had three or four new guys come through, and just trying to build that relationship is huge. And then, like I talked a few minutes ago, a few years down the line, when you meet up out or you work trade day or overtime with them again, and they're like, man, like some of the stuff you did, like, still hits home to me today, and I try to pass that on. And that's all I really asked for. And that's how our conversation went with that, is like, man, like, yeah, like I did that because somebody did that for me, and I thought that was the right thing, so I try to pass that on. So absolutely, I'm like, anything you got, like, keep passing it forward. And that's how you'll start building that reputation and that stuff. We had the way our district runs is we have ambulances and the fire trucks. Everybody's cross-staffed, everybody's medics, and we rotate between the fire truck and the ambulance. You'll do a rotation on the ambulance, a rotation on the fire truck. And we had a few years ago, one of our senior guys actually stepped up and took himself off fire truck and purposely put himself on the ambulance for multiple rotations with his brand new guy, just so, because he didn't think it was right to have overtime people coming in and training his new guy. And that actually spread between a few crews, and you started seeing people do that. With, they had a brand new person come in, and they're like, you know what? This is my new guy. I'm going to train my new guy, and I'm not going to let some guy from, as we always say, B shift, come in and try to train my new guy here. This is just, you got to take pride and ownership in this stuff. And that started spreading across a few of our crews, just that we had one guy did this and people started taking note of it. And then the newer people, when it was their turn to step up, like, man, I really appreciated what so-and-so did. I'm going to put myself in this position and just try to help them. So then it's kind of one of those, they're taking the pride and really trying to form the newer individual and not let all those outside influences come in and start filling their head up with, like, oh man, this is stupid. You don't have to worry about this. That I can't believe he's even teaching you that. Like, don't worry about that. Like, no, like this is my new guy. I'm going to take pride in this, and we're going to form him the way we operate on our crew and in our house to form that and get that going early on in his career.
Yeah, and sometimes as you were discussing that, you know, sometimes you hear stories, you talk to somebody where it's kind of even just the opposite, where it's not necessarily somebody that comes forth and puts the effort there, but somebody maybe something negative towards you, use that as your fuel to push you. Had a conversation with a newer, younger officer a while back, just got promoted, wasn't even actually officially in the promotion position yet. Promoted to a company officer position. And before his first day as a company officer, there was another officer that basically belittled him, that they didn't think that he should have been the one picked for that position. Told me this, you know, after he'd been into the position in a couple of months, and basically used that as his fuel. You know, he was perfectly capable of doing the job, but then used it as a, oh yeah, watch this. And, you know, just watching him use that negative, you know, and again, sometimes that's, you know, when you get those people that are the negative ones, sometimes that's the best fuel you can have for them, is they're trying to drag you down. You know, just somebody to say something like that, that'd be like telling your new firefighter when they come in the door saying, oh yeah, I don't think you're worth shit. You know, what are you going to get out of that person? You just basically told them what you know, I totally agree with honesty, but you know, sometimes it's honesty doesn't necessarily mean cruelty. And telling somebody that, you know, it's cruel. If they're not cutting their job, you know, cutting the mold, being able to do their job, that's one thing. But you just don't flat out come out and tell somebody that. But like I said, he was able to turn that into a positive, and that's his motivating fuel every day. Just one of those now that's self-motivated, and he's always looking for something different in the project, and moving on and moving forward. So, and unfortunately, not everybody has that clear of an attitude that whenever somebody tries to draw them down, that they can basically use that as a ladder to build themselves up a little bit higher. So, you know, that it comes, you know, that's one of the things we talk about, the senior person and the mentorship and stuff. You know, a lot of times we don't discuss that as much at the officer position, but it's just as important at that position as it is a brand new firefighter, as it is a brand new engineer, as it is, you know, every position within the organization. We got to make sure that we're paying attention to those. So it's not just the mentorship and the guidance and providing direction at the first day of the firehouse. It's the first day of every position and throughout that position.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the ultimate, oh, yeah, game on. Like, watch this. This is what I'm going to do to prove you wrong. But, yeah, absolutely.
That was the first question I had for him. I was like, what was your reply? And he's like, I was so dumbfounded by it. All I could say was, okay. Thank you for your opinion. And I was like, you know, because what's the best thing you can do? You know?
Duly noted. I will take that. And I will base my entire career off of your opinion, and you'll make a difference. Your name's not going to be great with it. But I mean, that I look at that kind of comes in too. I've had to talk with multiple people, with the whole time on the job deal. I mean, we've got some newer, younger officers in my organization coming up, and a few of them they're younger guys, but they busted their asses and they don't come in and ride the recliners. And I just had this conversation with somebody the other day that came up, and they're like, well, you know, so-and-so, this and that. And I'm like, yeah, but there's a difference between time on the job and experience. And that's conversation that's had sometimes with some of our people of like, yeah, like this dude's got 15 years on of riding a recliner versus somebody else has 7, but has busted their ass to do nothing but improve themselves through their entire career. Like, they pick the busy houses, they pick to be with the busy crews, and they go to every training opportunity they can get. And I'm not saying that training takes place of live fire and actually like running the calls and getting the reps of real world experiences, but when you got somebody that always picks a slower house because like, I don't want to run all those calls, and you got the younger people that like, no, like I'm here to learn, I want to get as much experience as I can, that's where that there's a huge difference between those two things, the time on the job and experience. And that shows a lot within my organization on how stuff plays out when we're talking like promotional stuff and that's what I've always defined when I've gotten up-and-coming officers reaching out like, hey, I need advice, or let's do this. Like, one of our promotional processes is a live scenario at our training tower and then tabletops. And I'm like, that there is going to – it separates everybody. And it shows every time you get a person come in there that has busted their butt their entire career because they go to the busy places – when they show up and you throw anything at them and they can pull out of that Rolodex of like, oh yeah, I've had this, this is how I'm going to handle it, versus other people that come in purposely not put themselves in those positions and they don't have those career experiences or those life experiences yet, it separates them on those proving grounds. And it is a night and day difference whenever you start looking at the promotional stuff with that too. So, I mean, there's a huge difference on a lot of that. And having, with your scenario, somebody come in and say, you know, I don't think you deserve this spot because whatever reasons, like, all right, well, game on, man. Like, let's have this conversation, or, you know what, I'm going to spend the rest of my career to prove you wrong. And I absolutely agree.
Yeah. It's kind of like somebody coming in and say, well, I've been here so long, I deserve this.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things that chapped my ass, and not just within our job, but in anything, whenever somebody says, well, I should be grandfathered in on this, because it's almost like, because I showed up for X number of days, so I automatically should just be okay. Well, what the fuck have you done to deserve that or to earn that? You know, some people have, but most of those that have earned that are the ones that are still doing it. They're not talking about how they should get it easier for a certain reason. You know, and kind of build off of what you say, you know, kind of an example I like to use a lot of times to people. You know, when you come into work, you come in, you know, it's every day you're there, same day. So you can, you know, it's the same, you go through the same routine. You don't do anything different to change. You don't do anything to improve yourself. And like you were talking about, you know, if that guy, if that's all you're doing is showing up to work, you know, with our schedule, the way it works, in a 15-year career, technically you only gain 5 years of experience because you're only working a third of the year. And within that 5 years experience, it's pretty much the same day repeated every day for 5 years. So,
yeah.
You know, truly, how much experience have you gained? You know, and a lot of guys, you know, they don't really look at it that way, but it's, you know, oh, yeah, I've got 15 years on the job. Well, you've only showed up to work a third of the year, so technically you've only got 5 years. And, you know.
Yeah, and I just had a pretty interesting,
you know,
conversation.
We all know the people that it's a five-year guy that you would, you know, more comfortable with their skills than a 15-year person. And it just depends upon the motivation that they have, like you said. You know, what are they doing? They're taking notes. They're trying to improve themselves. They're practicing. They're training. They're educating. They're getting out, getting their hands on things.
Yeah. And I'll just it's going away from the newer guy a little bit, but it's the same thing with the culture and the laziness of some. I had one of our senior engineers. So at our organization, we have the driver operator, the engineer. It's a promoted position. That's their, you get promoted to this, and that's your job, is you come in and you drive the truck every day. And it's kind of, we always joke, it's kind of a marriage between the company officer and the engineer. Like once they bond, and that's, which I'm spoiled right now of the engineer I get to work with every day is great. He does his job. But one of our other more senior ones came to me the other day. It's like, hey man, I really want to pick your brain. I've got something that is really bothering me with our culture that I feel needs to be changed. And he's got a huge problem with. And it's, we get a lot of our guys that work to get promoted, just get off the ambulance. And it's kind of a culture, not all of them. We have a lot of our drivers that are take pride in that. And they are some of the most OCD people you will ever meet in their life, which I completely agree. That makes a great driver and engineer, is somebody that's going to be OCD like that. But his complaint is like, man, we have a few of these guys, and it's only a handful out of all of them that are, he goes, they're lazy. He goes, they pull up, park the brake, and don't get out of the truck. Don't help. Don't do anything. And he goes, it's kind of given us a bad name. And he's like, it really grinds his gears and like you said, chaps his ass, because we got a handful of our guys that even on EMS calls, they're the first ones off the truck. That wheel chalk goes down, and they're grabbing the stretcher, or they're grabbing bags, and they're not always jumping into inpatient care, but doing the behind-the-scenes stuff. And the same thing on fire alarms. They're getting off. Hey, I'm going to make sure this hydrant is open and it flows and everything is good for if they go in to investigate this and they come out like, shit, I need a line. I need to go to work. Being five steps ahead of the game. And I completely agree. Me and him had a very healthy conversation, because that's kind of my opinion too, of like, a good driver needs to be five steps ahead of me. When I come out of that building and say, hey, I need this, like, oh, it's already set up at the door for you. Hey, awesome. That makes my job easier. If I'm going to a house and I tell him it's on this street and he's like, cool, I know there's a hydrant halfway down the block. That's one less thing I have to worry about going into this stuff. But me and him had a pretty long conversation. He's like, man, and he's looking for advice of what do I do with this? Like, I've got this culture of, and unfortunately there's some of the senior guys, but they're like, they're just lazy. And they're giving some of us a bad name. And they're just, he goes, when he comes in and relieves them or works overtime on the truck and he sees this, and he's like, it just really grinds his gears. And he's looking for advice. Like, what do I do to change this culture that we have? And kind of through our conversation, it came down to step up and be that mentor and be that senior guy of, we got younger guys coming up that are in our steps to become new engineers. Grab them and work with them and let them know, like, hey, this is unacceptable. This is what you need to be. Like, you need to take pride and you need to take ownership of this truck that is yours. Like, you get the privilege to drive this truck every day you come into work. Own it. And that's kind of where our conversation went. Like, dude, you're a senior guy. You have a lot more pull with these younger people than you think you do. And for us, a lot of our guys that are coming up to drive and be backup drivers or take the engineer test, you have to be there so many years to do this. So I'm like, man, we need to grab these guys while they're young. And if you want to see a culture change, we really need to push the younger guys and just let them know, hey, this is unacceptable. Like, this will not last. And a lot of that comes on the company officers too. If I have somebody driving that day and we pull up and they refuse to get out of the truck, hey, that's a conversation me and you need to have, that it's not going to be allowed type of deal, and just working through those problems.
Yeah, and it goes back to like we were talking earlier. You know, make sure you teach the culture along with the skills. Because a lot of times that culture is going to drive somebody a little bit. The culture will drive somebody to go get the skills that they're acquiring. So as we wrap up this evening, any closing thoughts or anything else you want to throw out before we wrap it up?
Just a lot of, you know, for anybody listening to this, if they're the senior person or if they're the new person coming into the firehouse, is culture means is a lot. I've had the luxury within my organization to work in overtime and trade time with other shifts. My brother works in the same department or district I work for, and he's on a different shift at a different house. And when we talk and compare stories, I mean, it's sometimes it's almost like we're at two different fire districts and just how separated stuff is. But just building that culture, when all of our conversations at the end all come down to like, hey, you know what? Like, this is, we're both still happy to be where we're at and the organization we're at. Majority of everybody is, but you just have these few people that just grind because, like you said, they're like, oh man, you're doing so much work, you're gonna make me look bad. And it's like, well, and I actually had that conversation with somebody, because I'm one of those, and I'll pick on my brother. When he came in and got in the fire service, my first advice to him is like, man, ears open, mouth shut, keep your head down and work. I'm like, if there's something that needs to be done, you were the first person to do it. You're the new guy in the firehouse. Like, phones, trash cans, towels, all this stuff is your responsibility. Make sure it gets done. I'm like, and you, like, if you keep your mouth shut and your ears open, you will gain a lot of knowledge from picking the brains of these senior people and just listening. When they start talking, you listen to what they have to say. And I had a person at another district come to me. He's like, man, like, your brother is like, every time he comes out, he's washing the truck. He's got tools off the truck. He's trying to learn. And like, we told him to stop it. He's going to make us look bad if he keeps this up. So I'm like, so he's doing his job. And that person kind of looked at me like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, he's doing his job. Well, yeah, but it's making him like, so he's doing his job as a new person. He's trying to learn the equipment. Why aren't you out there helping him? Well, you know that, I'm like, no, I'm like, that's, if you're on his shift and you have a new guy actively going out and going over equipment and trying to learn this stuff, like, don't you think that's kind of your job to make sure he knows that? So at 3 o'clock in the morning when you run this call, if he doesn't know it, whose fault is that? That falls on you. And that's one of those things, is like, company officers, like, you have to realize pretty quickly of like, yeah, this guy screwed up, but ultimately that's still my fault, like, because I did not get the information across to them of like, hey, this is unacceptable, or this is how you need to do that. So for new guys coming in, like, head down, ears open, listen to what these people have to say. Unfortunately, right now with our, especially in my organization, we have a lot of senior guys retiring, and it's kind of across the St. Louis area. I mean, we're about to get this huge cliff of individuals that started in the 80s and early 90s, that when we were still burning stuff all the time, and have the experience and the life experience to draw from of, you know, building construction and all this other stuff, that these guys have been there and have a good grasp on that. And they're leaving, they are retiring and moving on. They're moving down to the lake to spend the rest of their retirement down there drinking beer and fishing, and good for them. But this is our time as the younger generation to pick up what they've built for us and to learn as much as we can. We had one of our senior captains retire a couple years ago, and he went to be a chief at another district, a little bit more rural from us. But that was the conversations, a lot of kitchen tables, like, oh my gosh, like Captain so-and-so left. That's a wealth of knowledge that just walked out our door like that. And a lot of younger people like, man, I wish I had more time at the kitchen table with him to soak up everything he said. So some final thoughts of like newer people getting into this is just these senior guys soak up everything they can teach you, especially if they're coming out and willing to teach you, listen to them and take in what you can. Newer officers and engineers and wherever you're at, just remember the culture, it spreads. If you're breeding bad behavior, bad culture, it spreads like wildfire. It absolutely does. And it spreads way quicker than a positive one. So just try to remember that when you're talking to some of these new people, or, you know, that rumor mill around the firehouse sucks. And that's where I've really tried to, I'm guilty of it. I've sat there for many of years, and you dig into that rumor mill and you have those conversations, but a lot of the stuff really tried to break away from that and building that culture up of, you know, if this person was sitting here at the kitchen table, we'd be talking to them to their face about that, about these issues. And that just trying to break that stuff down and really build stuff back up from where it was. There's a negative culture, it spreads, and you need to kind of nip that shit in the ass and start pretty quickly.
Yeah. I don't know where I got it from, but I there's some class or book or something I picked up, and it was, nobody gives a shit what you know until they know you give a shit.
Yeah.
And we had an orientation, and I actually wrote that on the dry erase board in the training room, and it stayed up there for quite a while. And I was kind of surprised that was one of those things that, you know, so few words and so many people were kind of analyzing that and taking that to heart. You know, I never really thought about that in that manner. You know, whenever you get the new person, you're trying to teach them this and show them this, and you spend more time to trying to impress them with this is what I know, and spend less time just, you know, don't try to, you know, show them, hey, I know this and I know that. Try to, hey, I care about you. And the more you get them to understand that, and again, that doesn't matter what rank you're at, the easier it's going to be to get that person, you know, into your, what you're trying to teach them. It's going to get them into that culture. It's going to give them kind of that buy-in. But just something as simple as, you know, don't try to baffle them. Don't, you know, just work with them and be sincere and be loyal to what it is that you're doing. Most of the time, if they're on board, they're going to jump right in and follow you wherever you're going to go. but no, that's, I agree wholeheartedly with what you were talking about as far as, you know, the newer people coming up, you know, make sure if you're one of those newer officers or newer firefighters, don't let these people leave without, you know, finding out not just, you know, different things, every fire that they've been to and experiences that they've had, good and bad, but also, you know, find out the history of your organization. It seems like there's more and more people, you know, instill that into your culture that, you know, the ones that built our organization that we're still building yet today, you know, they've had their trials and tribulations and what got us to where we are. You know, find out that information. Don't just, you know, somebody, you know, a lot of times you hear people, oh, he's just a storyteller. Yeah, he is. He's telling stories about our history, and our history should be important to us because our history is what has built our culture now. And if you don't realize that somewhere along the line, you've totally missed the boat within your career. So I agree, and this is one of those conversations, you know, we could go on and on for hours and hours, but it's one of those that I think it's a good reminder sometimes to people that, you know, keep yourself grounded, you know, pay attention to what you're doing, how it affects your crew, how it affects, you know, again, whether you're a firefighter, an officer, a staff position, doesn't matter. It's going to affect your performance. And if it's affecting your performance, I guarantee somebody in your organization is noticing it, and it's having an adverse effect on you and as well somebody else. So that's one of those, again, kind of a conversation we have occasionally, and it's good to kind of keep you grounded and use this subtle reminder that sometimes we're not as good as what we think we are. We need to keep ourselves in check, but also make sure that we're not doing something negative to rub off on the new guy or the new person as they're coming in the door, and teach them that culture, teach them their skills, spend the time with them to make sure that we're teaching them the right way to come into the firehouse And then whenever you're gone and they're still building on that, hopefully they'll remember you, you know, even after you're long retired. And
absolutely.
Yeah. All righty. Anything else?
No. I think it's pretty good talk. So like I said, hopefully people listening to it can take something away from it. And this wasn't me and you having our little chit chat back and forth like we always have, the solving world's problems.
That's right. All right. Thanks. Thanks for joining in. Thanks for listening. On behalf of myself, Gary Graff, and Kyle Sanders, Engine House Training, appreciate you listening in. We'll catch you next time.